This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It's down to the final hours in New Hampshire as Democrats seeking the state's blessing on their presidential campaigns make their rounds. Voters go to the polls tomorrow for the nation's first primary. Big crowds have turned out for speeches from candidates today in schools, restaurants, and stores.
Polls suggest Massachusetts Senator John Kerry has a big lead. This afternoon, he addressed a town hall meeting at Keene State College.
I'm here to share with you my vision for our country and to answer your questions as much as I can, and particularly from those of you yet to decide. But I am not here just to count down the hours until tomorrow or while them away, because we're fighting for every single vote in this state, and I have come here to mark with you the beginning of the end of the Bush presidency.
We'll hear from several of our reporters on the trail today, and we'll start with NPR's Scott Horsley, who was with the Kerry campaign. Scott, it sounds as if John Kerry is not taking anything for granted there.
No, Michelle, he's certainly not just running out the clock or sitting on his lead here in New Hampshire. He's had a very full day of campaigning. He started early this morning on the seacoast and then traveled by helicopter to Keene. All told, Senator Kerry has about a half dozen events scheduled for the day, and he's going to be stumping right up until about 11 o'clock tonight.
And as he's out there on the stump, what kind of reception is he getting?
Well, I caught up with Kerry in Keene, which is a relatively liberal place by New Hampshire standards. It's a college town. He certainly has plenty of supporters there, but I also heard more challenging questions for Kerry in Keene today than I have at some of the other campaign events I've attended over the last week. He, in particular, was grilled about his vote to authorize the war with Iraq. One fellow Vietnam veteran in particular told Kerry he was horrified by that vote. Kerry defended his decision to authorize the use of force based on the available intelligence at the time. But he also criticized President Bush, as he does at just about every campaign stop here, for actually pursuing the war without, in Kerry's mind, exhausting all the other alternatives. Kerry actually fielded quite a few questions in Keene today as he tries to convert some of the voters who are still on the fence.
And how does he make the case in trying to do that?
Well, today he quoted former President Bill Clinton, who I guess said of the 2002 elections that strong and wrong beats weak and right. And Kerry says he can be both strong and right. He calls himself a lifelong Democrat in a not-so-subtle dig at retired General Wesley Clark. And he also talks up his foreign policy credentials, saying that would be of help to him in going up against President Bush.
Senator Kerry's newfound status as the front runner is certainly quite a turnaround from where he was just a few weeks ago. Is he now getting more attention from voters now that he's leading in the polls?
He certainly is, Michelle. John Kerry's had strong approval ratings here in New Hampshire all along. He's a familiar figure as the senator from the neighboring state to the south. And for a lot of folks here, he's long been sort of the second-choice fallback candidate. With the momentum that he brought with him from Iowa, people have been taking a second look at John Kerry. And some of the voters at the event today seem to be trying to decide, you know, can they vote for Kerry and feel good about it?
They certainly don't have a lot of time, though.
No, and that's why these question and answer sessions, at least at this stage of the campaign, really do have some meaning. This is not just political theater. There's still a human scale to the campaign. In fact, Senator Kerry was briefly interrupted today when one of his volunteers fainted behind him on the stage, and Kerry immediately went to the young man's side and stayed with him and helped him back to his feet. He says that's an illustration of how hard the campaign's been working, and then he went right back to answering questions.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott.
My pleasure, Michelle.
Scott Horsley is with the Kerry campaign in New Hampshire.
Now we're going to hear from some of our other reporters who've spent the past several days following the candidates around the state.
I'm Mara Liasson with the Edwards campaign in Milford, New Hampshire. On this final day before the primary, Edwards' rally was strictly for the TV cameras. The Milford High School gym was packed with students, many not old enough to vote, and the candidate didn't have time to stay for Q&A with the audience or even handshakes. Instead, he raced off in his big black bus to another event in Portsmouth, but he did have time to deliver his stump speech. It's a polished, down-to-earth performance, and it's won Edwards lots of notice. Voters particularly like his pledge to run a positive campaign.
One of the things you've seen over the last few months, if you've been watching the Democratic presidential campaign, is you turn on your television, you watch a debate, you read the newspaper, and you see one Democratic candidate attacking another Democratic candidate or sniping at another candidate. If you're looking for the candidate who'll do the best job at attacking the other Democrats, I'm not your guy. I believe this election is much bigger than that. I think this election is about the future of America. It's about lifting up the American people and making them believe again that everything is possible. This campaign...
Edwards is a relative novice. He's still in his first term in the U.S. Senate, but he made a surprise second-place finish in Iowa, and he's poised for another strong showing in New Hampshire. If that happens, Edwards will get the boost he wants as he heads to South Carolina, the state where he was born and a state his campaign says he has to win. Every candidate has an argument for why he's the man to beat George W. Bush. Edwards' argument is regional. He says his roots and his accent will allow him to compete with Mr. Bush in the South, where Democrats have been increasingly denied a foothold in presidential elections. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Milford, New Hampshire.
I'm Doug McPherson with the Joe Lieberman Campaign in Concord. The Connecticut senator polls above the single digits only when you add in the margin of error. But at a noontime rally on the Statehouse steps today, as a crowd of about 100 people stamped their feet in 15-degree sunshine, Lieberman reminded voters that polls in New Hampshire are notoriously wrong.
I just met a man in Nashua. He said, you know, I every now and then I hear these people on television talking about the polls. Don't they understand? We don't give a damn about the polls in New Hampshire. We have... Now, we are... I do want to mention parenthetically that we are going up in the polls. But he said to me, Granite Staters, we're going to have the last word.
Independents in New Hampshire can vote in the primary, and Lieberman is making his final pitch to independents, who propelled John McCain to a victory over George W. Bush in the New Hampshire primary 4 years ago.
If we don't like the direction in which George W. Bush is taking America, if we think he's compromised our rights and deprived our people of jobs and affordable health insurance and a clean environment and a world in which we are not only feared but we are respected and admired, you, the people of New Hampshire, have your opportunity tomorrow to come out and say we've had enough.
Alone among the Democratic candidates, Lieberman was an enthusiastic supporter of going to war against Iraq. He told the crowd today that Americans are safer because Saddam Hussein is in jail. Lieberman opted not to participate in the Iowa caucuses. Tomorrow will be his first test of voter support. For NPR News, I'm Doug McPherson in Concord.
I'm Linda Wertheimer. General Wesley Clark was in southern New Hampshire this morning, speaking on the steps at the town hall in Nashua.
First of all, know who I am. I'm an ordinary person. I'll never forget where I came from, how I grew up, and what I stand for.
It was only a two-minute speech, perhaps because it was not a big crowd, maybe 50 Clark supporters carrying signs, plus some unsure New Hampshire voters. Roger Barbour is a maintenance man from Nashua.
I've never been this undecided this late, never.
Why do you think that is?
We're all trying to find the one who can beat Bush and go there. You know, I could say any one of them would be an improvement over the man that's in there.
Roger Barbour is kinda, sorta leaning towards John Kerry, but he likes Clark's international experience. Audrey Spaulding is a technical writer from Hollis. She's between Clark and Kerry. Her issue, replacing the commander-in-chief.
I'm trying to make up my mind by tomorrow. I want to be sure to vote for the person I think is most likely to beat George Bush in the fall.
Issues don't matter so much as just winning?
Issues do matter. I think Clark is a good choice. I think he understands what it's like to send people to war. I have a 17-year-old son, and any time mention of the draft comes up, I just get a shiver right down my spine.
Kenneth and Jeanette Perrin can't agree on a candidate. She likes Kerry, John Edwards, and has moved Howard Dean back into consideration now that she's seen his wife. But when Clark talks about war as a last resort, she remembers another war.
All I can think of, Ashley, is he was the head of NATO, and all that bombing in Kosovo, I just think of that, those airplanes bombing those people, just left a bad image in my mind.
Kenneth Perrin likes both Clark and Kerry, and he seems to speak for a large group of New Hampshire voters.
I'm having a very hard time making up my mind. My mind is like boggled, you know?
Linda Wertheimer, NPR News, Nashua, New Hampshire.
I'm Robert Smith with Howard Dean in Manchester. Hell hath no fury like a campaign scorned. And Dean supporters are saying today that they're going to teach the media and the pundits a lesson. Don't count out the doctor. At a rally today, Christy Day from Amherst, New Hampshire, said that the last week of criticism and ridicule and dipping poll numbers has just made the Dean campaign stronger.
I got the sense this week that some people got tired of the press and kind of beaten up on him, and other people beating up on him. It's like, wait a minute, this is pretty serious stuff. Let's look at what the real issues are. And got back to message.
And that message is that Dean was a calm, steady, fiscally conservative governor who, upon occasion, gets riled up and speaks his mind. After a week of subdued speeches trying to appear presidential, Dean today was again jabbing at his rivals and apologizing for nothing.
I stood up and said no to that war a year and a half ago. Senator Kerry, Senator Lieberman, Senator Edwards all voted in favor of that war. Let me ask you, what kind of foreign policy experience do you want in the White House?
That tone should help motivate the campaign faithful, some of whom have been asking where the old Howard Dean went. Cynthia Hensley from Amherst, New Hampshire, likes the dean that used to say what he meant.
I've been very distressed in the last month and a half, particularly, that he seems to say something, and then he comes back and retracts and says, oh, well, I'm sorry, gosh, mea culpa, I didn't mean that, because the press hangs him.
A month ago, Dean had a double-digit lead here. He was hurt, though, by questions about his electability, an issue that comes up continually in interviews with voters. But Jan Pendlebury from Goffstown says passion is more important than politics.
The people that support Dean are supporting him with their whole body. They're not supporting him because they think that he has the best chance of beating Bush. They believe in him. They believe in his message.
It's that devotion that rocketed Dean to the front of the Democratic pack last fall. But in the end, those passionate people didn't turn out for Dean in Iowa. And no one knows if they'll show up tomorrow. Robert Smith, NPR News, Manchester.